Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society with Professor H.J. McIntyre, International Relations, Six Capitals, Six Points of View, Beijing. The phone call between Xi Jinping and Mr. Zelensky capped a week after week after week of diplomatic activity by the Chinese Communist Party, some of it involving the word peace. That would be in the Middle East, for example. And there was the word peace floated around at the time of Xi Jinping's visit to Moscow. I didn't hear it this week, however. Beijing's point of view, the second year of the war, Professor.
Well, Beijing had really two projects, and they had to choose between one or the other. One was to adopt a neutral position and try to make herself the go-between that brought peace. This was always difficult to do. The other would have been to ally strongly with Russia and help Russia to overcome the problems that she has with supply. Right now, Russia is being heavily supplied by Iran, and I look at that and I see a little cloud and say, well, doesn't Mr. Netanyahu have a very serious problem with Iran becoming a great power and a nuclear power and allied with Russia? He does. That if we don't get this damn thing over with, that's going to come in, and we're going to slide into another whole war. But I think what's happened in Beijing is that there's been a real shift in the approach to the world now that Xi Jinping is in power. Few people understood how completely he intended to reverse the so-called reform and opening, which had been going on really since the time of Nixon's visit way back in the distant 1970s. And he's now succeeded in effectively destroying the Chinese economy. Very few people in the West are aware of how much damage he has done, or how grave the straits are that China faces. The fact is that wages are not being paid. Individual Chinese are living simply by borrowing from the bank as little as they can, and then that increases indebtedness, and China already has massive indebtedness, and there's no good way to fix that indebtedness. You either destroy the value of the money, in which case the people are going to starve, or you start selling everything and paying. In that case, you consume your entire GNP and more. So they're in a terribly difficult position. And yet she has a vision. One, he sees himself maybe as a kind of great world peacemaker, but he also has a vision of himself as the sort of emperor of the world. And remember, this is not a man who's terribly well-educated. He's not very cosmopolitan. He speaks no foreign languages. His Chinese is rather limited. I mean, it's probably better than mine, but it's nowhere near as good as a college-educated Chinese. And he sees the possibility of forming a great Chinese empire that will include much of the Pacific Ocean, certainly as far as the Philippines and beyond. And we're doing the right thing. We used to have a different alliance system out in Asia. What's happened now is that Asian countries are so worried that they've really come banging at America's door. The best example is the Philippines, and China mishandled the Philippines, and they stole Philippine territory. I well remember 1998, I think it was, that the Chinese grabbed the first Filipino territory, Mischief Reef. And in Washington, a few people said, this is no good. This is like the remilitarization of the Rhineland or something. It's really time to, we've got to stop these guys now. But we didn't. And I was looking at slides, looking at some overheads last night, and they have built runways, 3,000 meter runways long enough for jet planes. They've placed submarine berths, all that stuff, all through the South China or the West Philippine Sea, right up to Palawan, which is a very important island of the Philippines. And they claim this as theirs. And when the Filipinos sent out a patrol, they sent three heavy patrol boats against it and about 2,000 of these so-called fishing boats. And the Filipinos ultimately had to stop because otherwise they would have crashed into Chinese ships. But Mr. Marcos seems to be ready to confront, to call the Chinese on this. And he's in a very strong position because in 2016, the court in The Hague found unanimously that the Chinese claims to this territory are null and void under treaties and methods of evaluation, of judiciary methods that China has signed on to. On the subject of Taiwan, it's worth noting that China's smartest general, I would say, Liu Yajou, has just been arrested, and he has been described, even though he has been the head of the Chinese War College and commander of very large numbers of Chinese troops, he's been described as the number one traitor inside the Chinese military. And the main point here is that clearly Xi does not control the military, which means that he's unlikely to invade. But the point that people will pick up on is that Liu has said, basically, why don't we attack Taiwan? He says, because we won't win. And this, he's intelligent enough to understand that if Xi actually, even if he attacked one of these Philippine outposts, he would get himself stuck in a war. And he also understands something that you rarely hear discussed, which is the incredible strength of Japan, and also the remarkable strengthening of the U.S. South Korean alliance, which I'd say the administration has handled very well, although they've made a terrible mistake in my mind by saying that we're going to go on handling nuclear deterrence for South Korea. We'll have a bomber submarine over there right near South Korea all the time. I think it's a terrible mistake for the United States to say that we will fire our nukes to defend other countries. And I think it would be a far more stable world if the South Koreans had their own nuclear weapons, not too many of them, but what we call a minimal deterrent, which is enough to scare anybody away from attacking you, that was under their control. And if we're not lying awake nights sweating because North Korea has got 40 H-bombs or whatever, surely it would make sense to let the South Koreans run their own show. I feel the same way about Japan, Taiwan, and Australia. And I think that eventually this is what's going to happen, because we can't have a system where it is America's job to deter an attack on, say, Malaysia or something. It's important that as the Ukraine war draws us ever more deeply into this role that we never saw of being world hegemon and world policeman, for which we're always being dragged over the coals by other countries, we want to withdraw from that role by restoring a credible balance of power that is shared by an alliance of countries who understand each other and share values and trust each other. And France and England are examples of independently nuclear-armed allies with whom we basically are on the same side. And if we keep pursuing that, rather than insisting that we have to remain in charge, I think we're going to be able to construct a stable post-Ukraine war situation. If we look at it the way we did after World War II and say, well, we'll have NATO, and then instead of saying, look, and after 12 years, we're going to get rid of NATO, and you guys are going to have to figure out how to defend yourself. Instead, we said, look, we'll just stay here. So where do they go to meet? If the Europeans, they go to Rammstein in Germany to meet. It was a huge American base. It's a tribute to the United States that we have done this, but this act is over. The next act is to sort of channel Metternich and see how we can put together resilient alliance systems that lead to peaceful resolution of international disputes.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, Six Capitals, Six Points of View. We're headed to Lhasa, the capital of Tibet, the administrative capital. And the reason is that in 1950, it was invaded by the People's Liberation Army. That is a model to look to all these decades later. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.